Damien Cook coming up shortly from Souths. Now, this isn't a political program, of course, but I just want to point out there's stacks of markets open with TAB for the election on Saturday. Huge money being held. And as it stands this morning, just some money starting to come back for the government. In the last few days, they've been $4 into $2.90.
Saying they're a chance.
Maybe another miracle.
You're saying they're a chance.
$4 into $2.90, whereas Labor, $1.25, just out to $1.43. Still strong favourites. I'll give you a bet on Friday. I'll come up with my best bet.
Who are you voting for?
Your best bet.
I'm not going to tell you that.
Why not?
Well,
it's actually illegal. It's actually illegal.
Why vote for you?
I think it's illegal.
What, to do what?
To...
No, you can say whatever you want.
No, I don't think you can. No, I don't think... Well, we know that's not the case. There's nothing free about this country. It costs a truckload, every part of it. Great country.
What are you saying is illegal?
Illegal. You can't announce who you vote for.
Yeah, you can.
No way.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Will, can you find out, please?
Yeah, you can.
Are you allowed to tell the world who you vote for?
I
don't think you can.
Yes, you can.
Okay. That's fine. What was I right about before? Champagne District? I think I'll be right about this as well. Two from two this morning. I'm on fire.
Anyway, stacks of markets open there on the TAB app and the TAB website. And because you can't do individual multis with the election for seats, but there is a section there where it provides you with, you know, a multis. Well, for instance, two or three legs they've put together and given a price for.
Are you having a punt, Loz?
Without giving anything away.
I think there's value. There's going to be a lot of shots. In individual
without giving,
seats.
Giving anything away.
Here we go.
Do you reckon people vote for member, or they vote for party, or they vote for prime minister?
It's a good question. I think prime minister.
Like most people, when they vote, how do you think they vote?
Prime minister's
got a lot to do with it. Yeah. Or your local member.
I think across the board, it changes seat to seat. But I reckon if you're going to ask for a general answer, I'll say Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, yeah.
A shot front window, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah. I'm thinking most people might too, or more people would vote that than maybe whether they're Liberal or Labor.
Yeah,
and I reckon there'd be more swinging voters now than ever before.
Yeah. That's true. Well, you'll see.
Because I know when my old man, when I was young.
Loyal to the bone of one party. You pick a side.
But I think,
my dad,
I think the younger generation, our generation,
happy.
Are more
We know
floaters.
They're happy for change daily.
Yeah. So
every day they're happy to change.
It's interesting.
Well, here's one for you. I'll give you a bit. There's a novelty market here. When will the leader concede? So, which is paid at the start of the concession speech. So, for instance.
Oh, God.
All right. Do you think it'll be close?
Yes. So I reckon it'll be sometime between 10 and midnight. So you can go 10:01 to 11.
What price?
Is $4.
Well,
the favourites from 9:01 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's Australian Eastern Standard Time. Because they're going to have to wait to see what's going on over in Western Australia. So that's $3.50. But 10:01 to 11 is $4. And 11:01 to midnight is $5. I think it'll be close just before 11 o'clock. There you go, $4. There's a bet,
Mitch.
10 to
still
11.
Counting votes, you reckon? That time.
I like the WA theory, too. You've put a bit of time in it. You've had a bet before on this,
Seats
haven't you?
Seats in play in WA. No, I haven't, but I will be. I'm going to bet on
that. Well.
Done his form.
Yeah.
Ascot Belmont.
Get on it.
Rightio. Well, Cookie's probably listening to this going, what program am I on?
I wonder who Cookie's voting for.
Ask him.
The red and green.
Yeah.
Morning, Cookie. How are you, mate?
Good morning, guys. Sorry for last week as well. Not sure what happened to me phone, but...
Happens when you lose. That stuff happens, Cookie. I get it.
I was going to do the Broncos game.
It's like your car would break down on the way to a media conference post a test defeat.
So many things happen when you lose. It's just, I don't know why, but my phone just... always seem to switch off just for that hour and a half, and then it come good. And certainly the week after when we won, my phone never seemed to go off.
Well, talking about switching off, geez, you look like you were going to win by 60 the other night, Cookie, and then it got a bit nervous there in the last couple of minutes. What happened?
Mate, they said they want to keep it close for Magic. They just throw a few offloads out your ass and we'll send possession over and see how close we can get this.
And you're a naughty boy too.
Oh, mate.
What happened there?
I'm a grub. Not too sure. Wasn't too happy about it. And obviously put us under a bit more pressure at the end there. But, you know, we definitely played a game of 2 hours, that's for sure. We were very happy with what we did in the first half. That was what we've been looking for a long time. Now, you know, a few reasons why we went that way, but we just got to make sure we keep playing like that because we know we can now.
Cookie, we spoke about it last week, just Cody Walker's form and then obviously getting the opportunity to captain the Rabbits. And I'm interested to know if you noticed or your teammates noticed any change with him, you know, becoming skipper. And again, I've no doubt he's a leader in the group anyway, even without that C beside his name. But do you think him getting this extra responsibility will bring the best out of him?
Oh, I think so. I think he, you know, someone like Cody... is, you know, just you know, in the game the whole time. He's so, you know, he plays the game and what's in front of him. He's so into it and aggressive with what he does, not I mean, in a good way. But yeah, I think the leadership probably just realised, oh, I've got to make sure I, you know, put team first always here and make a couple of smarter decisions, which he, you know, in the last couple of weeks he'll admit to he didn't do in discipline parts, and I think that's been great for him. There's a lot calmer out in the field, and you know, that's, we saw what we did. The one thing we did for him though was the game plan. Like we rolled through the middle, we shortened the defensive line, and gave him the ball early. And we saw what he can do on the end of those shapes with those, you know, 3-on-2s and just hitting the winger and hitting AJ, putting little grubbers through. So you know, I think we've just got to make sure we do our job for him to allow him to come into the game so we can see the best of him.
What was the atmosphere like in Brisbane, Clarkie? Cookie, I'm looking at Clarkie, but just for Magic Round, like, do you think it should stay there? Do the players love it? Do you think perhaps it should go elsewhere?
I've been called Clarkie before. So we're getting this,
we look very similar, buddy.
We do, don't we? Yeah.
Actually, we're just as quick across the field as well. I got your speed as well.
You weren't too bad between the wickets. No, we love it. We love Magic Round. It was great atmosphere up there. They had a great crowd for all the games. Just the buzz around the whole city as well. Even after your games, you're going around, you're signing other teams' jerseys, but the kids and that, they didn't care. They just everyone's just rugby league fans up there and just happy to see everyone. So I thought it's a great concept, and I love it up there. And you know, I'd even be happy to have, you know, a couple of Magic Rounds a year. You know, take one down to or up to Brisbane, or take one to in city at Bankwest. Or the new stadium coming in Sydney, I think they'll be great. You know, everyone can give up a home game to sort of do that once, twice a year. I can be awesome for it.
And you're on the road again this weekend. You're taking on the Raiders at Dubbo. And the Raiders were terrific on Sunday against the Sharks. Cookie, I don't know whether you saw any of that game, but they were out on their feet, but they had three players in the sin bin. But they played tough on the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about some of these teams that, you know, aren't travelling too well. And the week before us, they seem to really hit their stride. So they played a great brand of footy. They really gave the Sharks nothing, and the Sharks didn't look like they knew what to do. They didn't have they were a bit stunned there for a bit, and they've been playing some really good footy, the Sharks, this year. So Canberra's found what works for them, and it's going to be a big game. It always is against us in Canberra. You know, we've obviously normally played them down there, but it's going to be out at Dubbo. Definitely hope it's not like last year's Dubbo game. That was not good for us, and hopefully we can change that around now for the fans, because we disappointed them.
Cookie, what have you made of the Bulldog saga? I know not your club, and it's easy to say, look, we just concentrate on our own stuff, but I'm sure you know a lot of the players in the team. I'm sure you know Trent Barrett. What have you made of their situation?
Yeah, it'd be easy for me to sort of just pass on it, because it's, you know, it's not my team, but you know, I was there and at the club for a couple of years, and I loved it there. It's a very proud club, and somewhere where I enjoyed my footy, and at the time I never wanted to leave. So it's sad to see them go through what's going on at the moment. I know Trent, and I know some of the players, but you know, I don't know how that behind closed doors, how that was working, and everything that's going on. So they obviously made a change, which is obviously Trent was the one that had to go for that. It's up to the players that are on the field too. You know, it's similar to what's happening with us. You know, some of the coaches have been taking a bit of responsibility of our performances on the field, but you know, we're the ones out there making the tackles, making the passes, or dropping the ball, and we proved that on the weekend. you know, where we played so well in the first half and then, you know, just crap in the second half. So, you know, just got to make sure as a club that, you know, as a playing group, that you're going out there and doing your best each week too.
Cookie, just on the flow of the game generally and referees, which are never far from the conversation in the NRL, but there's been some commentary that perhaps, you know, with the speed of the game now, maybe we do need two referees. What's your thoughts on that and potentially going back to two referees?
Look, you could get a lot of benefit out of it for two referees. It's been a hooker, that's for sure, because they're obviously going to see a lot more around the ruck that, going to make the markers a bit square at times because, you know, the one ref can't watch everything. But I actually don't think the game has gotten faster. I think with the yardage penalty, that's actually slowed things down just a little bit, which, I think probably needed. If anything, with two refs, it probably should have been last year when there was, you know, six against the whole field and the game was quite fast. But I think there's a little stoppage now in yardage penalties that's helping everyone, I think.
When do you head out to Dubbo?
I think we're going Friday afternoon. So we'll do captain's run out there as well, which will, I'm not sure where that is, but I'm sure they'll the club will let, you know, let all the fans out there know where they're, so they can probably come check that out as well before the game on Sunday.
All right. What happened last Wednesday in the Daly v Cook?
Well, he didn't
rivalry.
Turn up, so yeah, I win.
Oh, of course.
Day off. Forfeit.
If you don't front,
old
you don't
forfeit.
Win.
Yeah.
That's a forfeit.
Yep, fair
and if
court.
You forfeit, the opposition get the points.
Yep, fair court. Like it. Forfeit. Old school. Under 10s. We only got 8 players.
Like, Cookie, if I wasn't here on a Wednesday and I didn't submit my
forfeit for
my,
sure.
my tip, you'd claim it, wouldn't you?
No, not at all.
Cookie, I know you. Come on.
You'd
come
have on. A fine as well. It'd be forfeit plus a fine.
No, so I win last week.
All right.
Right up. That's your three, choice. Three. Your choice today. Where are we going?
We are going. Let's go race three. Race three. Number 7. There you go. I've left the favourite for you. You take the favourite for a place, won't you?
Race three, number 7. This
top
is
four.
On the Kenzo today. Cookie's tip. Race three, number 7. Toes on the nose.
Is that something to do with me?
Toes on the nose.
Toes on the nose. Mm. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Cookie. I won't go the favourite. I'll go something rough. I'll go, I'll go the longest priced horse in the field.
Which Davo's just tipped us.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Timpanist.
Timpanist. I'll go Timpanist. There you go.
LD's over Davo regularly in this segment. Mm. Regularly. He's quite smart.
Oh, no. Well, Cookie picked the race.
Mm.
I didn't pick the race.
Well.
And Cookie gets
lucky,
first opportunity to pick
lucky
a horse.
Day today.
Select a horse.
Righty-o.
Must be nice to have all the stats and everything in front of you.
Endeavour. More importantly, who are you picking this weekend between Raiders and Rabbitohs? I'd like to know while Cookie's on the line. Because I don't like the little, I'm going South when Cookie's here, and then you go against them.
Oh, South.
Are you going South?
Yeah.
You go on the Rabbits.
Go on the
You're
Rabbitohs.
Such a bad liar.
Jack White. Well.
You are such
well.
A bad liar.
They played well last week.
You talk absolute rubbish. You're lying. Straight to my face. At least look me in the eye if you're going to lie to me. Who are you going for? Who are you going for?
I'm going for Cookie.
Okay.
Just so you know, I see your tips on the Mido, thanks for not backing
yeah,
me. No. Oh, yeah, he went the Warriors.
I did you a favour. Yeah, I was helping Cookie out.
Yeah.
Oh. I was helping him out.
Never fall into them, mate. Never fall
no,
into
I'm
them.
I'm definitely going for you, Cookie.
What was I thinking?
I reckon you'll beat them by 30, the Raiders.
Cheers. I'll take Cheers, that bet.
No, good on you, Cookie. Thanks so much, mate.
No worries.
Good luck. See
you, mate. Cookie,
how dare you say we'll get beaten 30. By 30.
Come on, the Rabbits. I reckon they're the South Island monster.
Jack Whiten's back in the team.
Yeah, I know.
From suspension.
What does that mean?
I didn't want to say anything.
What do
you
say?
I get hammered every time I mention Jack's name.
Would like to think that that's a positive for Canberra.
Mate, honestly, you should hear the talk around town about Jack no chance of origin. I can't believe it's out there. I can't believe I'm hearing it.
No.
They've flicked him.
No, I'll tell you what.
He'll be on the 14.
He'll be 14.
Brad Schneider's a bit unlucky. He played pretty well last week.
He has. I think they just wanted to rest him.
Okay, right.
I think you'll find he'll come back and... you know, Frawley might get arrested at some stage. But for a young man to play the opening 10 games of the competition, that's and improve as you go along, and there probably were signs there that he's fatigued, even though he got close to man of the... Well, I think he did get 3 points in the Dally M. They probably feel as though they don't want to cook him just yet.
The market with Tab for that one, South Sydney, $1.53. The Canberra Raiders, $2.50, plus $4.50 at the line are the Raiders there. And as Cookie mentioned, last year in Dubbo, that was when, well, the Harlem Globetrotters or the Penrith Panthers took Souths to task.
But that was their turning point for South, though, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After that performance, they turned their season around.
Mm.
But you don't want to be relying on a massive loss like that to get your season going. It's amazing with Souths because they've got moments in their game where they just look brilliant. Mm-hmm. They look as though that attacking rhythm is there and they can worry anyone. But they just haven't been able to do it consistently enough over a longer period. And I'll go back to that game earlier in the year against Melbourne. Like, Melbourne were all over them. Mm-hmm. And then in a space of, 10 minutes, they got themselves back into that contest.
Went to Golden Point.
Mm-hmm. Latrell kicked that massive field goal. Mm-hmm. So they got it in them. They've just got to be able to sustain it for a longer period.
On the other side, Loz, this is a game when you look at this South side again with no Mitchell, no Cameron Murray. The Raiders, this could help. All of a sudden, the Raiders one win out of the top eight.
Well, how much confidence do the Raiders get out of that performance last week? Only concern I have is the fact that they have to play after that sapping game last weekend. Playing up there at Suncorp, the humidity was at its highest, and it was just so hot, and you could see how buggered both the Sharks and the Raiders were at the back end of that game. They just had nothing else to give, and that'd be my only concern for them. But if they can turn up and recreate the same energy that they had last weekend, I think they're a terrific hope.
Reports to Jamal Fogarty not far away, back trading. So that'll be a boost for you as well.
That's good. That's good news. They obviously identified Jamal as the player that they wanted to bring to the club to work with Jack White and form that combination, take a bit of pressure off Jack. And Jamal, unfortunately, got injured in the preseason. But I think they'd be very happy with the way that Snyder has developed because he seems as though he's a guy that he's got a big future in front of him. And he's a big bloke too. He tackles well. And you just notice every week he's getting more confident.
This morning in the English Premier League, Liverpool beat Southampton 2-1 at St Mary's. So final day, they are 1 point behind Manchester City in the race for the Premier League title. City at home to Aston Villa, Liverpool at home to Wolves. And for Aston Villa, you've got former Liverpool player Philippe Coutinho there. And of course, former Liverpool legend Steven Gerrard is their manager. And in the championship playoff final for a spot in the Premier League, Nottingham Forest, they won on penalties this morning in an absolute nail-biter after going to extra time against Sheffield United. And they'll play Huddersfield Town in the championship playoff final at Wembley. I think that's not this weekend, but the following weekend. Now we're talking some harness racing. And joining us from Club Menangle, well, Club Menangle, by the way, participating in the Pacing for Pink campaign in the month of May, where drivers will be voluntarily wearing pink trousers to assist in raising funds and awareness for the McGrath Foundation. And to tell us more about it from Club Menangle is Jess Watkins. Jess, good morning to you.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you on the show. So tell us about this Pacing for Pink campaign.
So the Pacing for Pink campaign runs throughout May, and it's currently Australia-wide this year, and the drivers voluntarily elect to drive in the pink pants, so they've engaged to sponsor themselves. And Club Menangle's also jumped on board with that, and we're donating $200 for every win by a driver in the pink pants at our track, also every female training win, and also for every horse that carries the number 8 saddle cloth, because that is pink.
Unreal. It just must be great to be able to partner with an organisation like the McGrath Foundation.
Absolutely. They do fantastic work supporting people through their breast cancer journey, and we're more than happy to support. And I think a lot of people in harness racing have been touched by someone with cancer, and it's so great to see the community jump on board.
And you've got a high tea later this month?
We do. The high tea's next Tuesday on May 24, and your very own Jamie Rogers will be emceeing the afternoon, and we've got some guest speakers as well. Fred Hastings, the premier race caller in New South Wales, will be popping in to give us some tips. We've got a representative from the McGrath Foundation coming out to speak, and also Kerri-Ann and Robert Morris from Lucky Lodge. They're local trainers here at Menangle, and they've currently got Robbie's sister Angie is facing her own breast cancer battle, and they're coming to talk about why they wanted to get involved with the campaign as well.
And no doubt you got great support from drivers and all your stakeholders.
Absolutely. Everyone's jumped on board. We've got some great sponsors supporting the day, and all the participants have been fantastic, wanting to get out there and get success on the track.
Great stuff, Jess. Thanks for telling us about it.
No worries. Thanks so much.
Jess Watkins there, Club Menangle, doing their bit, Club Menangle and the industry for the McGrath Foundation. I mean, the legacy of Jane McGrath and that foundation, you've obviously been very close to it in your time in cricket.
Unreal.
And just the way that day has grown. And we've seen England sort of do international the same thing now. Through Andrew Strauss's wife, who sadly passed away.
South Africa do a game now overseas for McGrath Foundation. It's all around the world now. And a lot of people deserve credit for where it's got to and where it will go. But Glenn has been an absolute superstar. Mm. He has been the face of it. He's working every day to try and see this thing grow and help as many people out as he possibly can, and deserves so much credit. And again, just I think Jess just said it spot on. Even if it's not you personally, there's not too many of us that haven't been touched by cancer in general. Call it breast cancer, call it any form of cancer. If it's not you, it's someone close to you, it's family, it's friends, and it impacts everyone. It's absolutely devastating. So, well done to the guys from Club Menangle as well to support this, and congratulations again to the McGrath Foundation for continuing to trying to help as many people as they can.
Just on the text line here, Daly's tipping is like telling your wife is gaining weight. You should just shut your mouth and not say anything, says Greg at Campbelltown.
Well, Greg's always very critical of me.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Greg never sends anything in nice.
Steve doesn't mind me either. Me and Steve get on pretty well. Mm. Clarkie hasn't got a clue about anything. Steve, I 100% agree, mate. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why they pick me. I know nothing about everything. That is correct.
I'll tell you what I'd be meaning to bring up with you, Clarkie. This is a serious topic,
okay,
actually.
Tell me.
Last week I saw that Tim Payne hasn't been given a contract at Tasmania.
Yes, we did speak about this off air.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here he was.
I can't believe it, mate.
In November last year, the Australian captain.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
The Australian captain. And now he can't get a contract at his home state in Tasmania.
Yeah, look.
I know he's 37, but he was the Australian captain.
I'm going to be honest. Let me start by saying what happened there with Payne and his wife and the other people involved, I feel for everyone. Their families, the kids, their friends, everyone involved. Mm. Anytime something happens like that privately is hard enough to deal with. When it's public, it's twice as hard. So I feel for everyone involved. Now, in saying that, Tim Payne's gone from Australian captain to just being absolutely forgotten about. It's unbelievable. I don't think it's right. Even through the summer, no one spoke about Payne. Mm. Yet, I know playing wise, I think, Tim did awesome to get back into the Australian team. But what him and Justin Langer did around leadership, certainly off the field after Sandpapergate, he deserves so much credit for that. And we should still be praising him for that. Yet now he can't get a state contract. Mm. He's still playing good enough. He can't be playing for Australia, a captain of Australia, 6 months, 4 months earlier, and not get a state contract. I don't think that's right. Unless Tim has said to Tassie that I'm retiring, or I don't want a contract, or I'm not interested. That's a completely different story. But if Payne wanted to play, don't tell me he's still not good enough to play for Tassie or any other state. So I just feel for him, to be honest, mate. I just think he's been. And again, I'm not supporting that. The private life stuff, I've experienced enough of that myself. It's not my business. It's not my place to talk about what someone does with other people or in their relationship. But in regards to you go from being Australian captain to just disappearing off the face of the earth, I don't think he's been dealt with very well. I think Cricket Australia do owe a lot to Tim Payne for his leadership through that tough period. And It doesn't smell good to me at all. I don't like it, and I feel for Payne.
And not to pour over old ground, but remember, he was cleared in a investigation by CA.
Well, where's that gone as
a
well?
A couple of years ago.
How have we not dug deeper there and worked out? How can you be cleared and then all of a sudden, lose your job as Australian cricket captain and not be selected in the team. And
it is amazing how quickly he has gone from the Australian captain to forgotten.
Yeah.
Completely forgotten.
Yeah.
And just remember the circumstances in which he became Australian captain as well, at a time when we were at our lowest ebb.
Yeah.
So regardless of what's gone on off the field, and that is, we were speaking about that separately to what we're speaking about.
Yeah,
his cricket situation.
And certainly now there's been some time as well. So, you know, I would hate to think, and that's why I feel like maybe we got this wrong. Maybe Payne's spoken to Tassie, because remember, Tasmania have come out and supported Payne as well and said, we looked at what happened, we cleared him, and they were quite hard on Cricket Australia. So I think, I would imagine Cricket Tasmania wouldn't be not offer him a contract because of that. I think it's got to be something more. They've ever had a conversation saying, look, we've got a young keeper coming through, or how long do you want to play for, or what are you thinking? And they might have come to an agreement together just saying, you know what, we're not going to give you a contract. But we haven't heard from Payne either, so we don't know his side.
JR, good morning to you again. And I'm seeing here your little same game multi you've done for game one of the Eastern Conference final starting this morning. Pretty popular.
It is. It has been popular. Now, we have shortened the price from $6 into $5, but that's actually because the Celtics have announced they're going to be missing Marcus Smart and Al Horford. Both of them are out.
Wow.
So, as a result, Miami have firmed up to win today. So, we had Miami to win, and we've said that even before these outs that we thought Miami would win game one, but Boston still, hopefully, we think will take the series. So
you didn't blow up at Dicko like Loz does?
No, well, do you know, Loz, when I first saw that, I came running out to Will and was like, what's Dicko doing? But then I actually looked at it properly and realised who was out for Boston and decided not to go and give it to Dicko and just agreed with his decision. So we're sticking with the $5, and then we just need Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero to score a combined 40 points. I'm just slightly thinking, you know, when if it's a blowout, I just hope, and I'm now probably just going to go put the mock on myself, that I don't bench Jimmy Butler to rest him or something like that. You know, when you start seeing names drop out and you think, oh, I hope this doesn't end up being a blowout.
No, so just again, Hero and Butler, 40 plus between them, Miami to win the game.
And it's still great value at $5.
Yeah, $5, especially now because I'm just looking at the head-to-head. They've trimmed right up, as you'd expect. Miami $1.50 head-to-head, Boston $2.65.
Yep.
And a line there of 4.5 and 370 plus markets open with tab for the game.
And keep an eye on Amazon Prime for anyone that wants to watch the swimming championships that will all kick off today in Adelaide as our swimmers all try to get spots for the World Championships in Budapest and the Comm Games next month.
And you're hosting the high tea out at Club Menangle next Tuesday, JR.
Yes, guys. That was a great interview that you did with Jess Watkins earlier on in the show. Yes, that'll be great in support for the McGrath Foundation. It's a really good initiative and it's great that we get behind it.
Great stuff, JR. Thanks so much. We'll be back with the news at 9. Give us a call, 1353 53. What about this text? Boys, as a Souths fan, this is in, we were discussing this game in Dubbo after we spoke to Cookie earlier. As a Souths fan, I think the Raiders are specials this week. The form they showed second half is the type of footy they've been playing so far. I'm sure in relation to Souths, you're talking about their Nick. But they certainly look like... I actually was watching that game and did the old turn it over to something else when they were 32-6 up and nearly fell over when I saw the final score there for Souths against the Warriors last Saturday. Lots.
They looked in control of that game, you know, and I was a bit like the same. I was down the road at my local and sort of watched a little bit of it and kept looking up and seeing South Sydney score and then completely forgot about the second half. And then someone said, geez, the Warriors might be a chance here. And I looked up and I couldn't believe it. They just scored again and it was, 32-30. And then the Warriors get the ball back and then they had an opportunity. But I didn't think they would come close to South, given the way the Warriors had been playing. But South, they need to sharpen up their second half performances, but you can do it because the Raiders, their performances, you know, in the lead up to the last couple of games wasn't great. They were conceding big leads and letting teams finish over the top of them, but you know, the last 2 weeks they've been able to grind out some victories. They did it against the Bulldogs and now they did it against the Sharks, and more than grind out a victory against the Sharks. They play some really good football.
We've got David on the line. Morning, David.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Very well, thanks, mate. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, Laurie, question for you, mate. New team coming in next year, the Dolphins.
Yep.
Who misses out in Magic Round?
It's the team who's got the bye in round one, I think I heard. Yeah, this is still to be determined, though.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I got no idea, Dave.
Won't be any of the Queensland teams. I think you can put the pen through them.
No, it won't be the Cowboys, Titans, or the Broncos, or the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I don't know. So is that how they're going to work it out? Whoever has the bye round one?
I need to confirm that. I thought I'm not 100% sure, Loz. But they certainly...
Someone will have a bye every week.
They certainly haven't determined it yet.
Someone will have a bye in round two, round three. Mm.
Hey, and also, Laurie, I don't know if you've mentioned it yet on air, mate, but if you can give Royce's walk a big plug on there.
Yeah, we've spoken about that this morning. He's got Terry Lamb and Lang Mack and Kurt Fernley on the walk today.
Luke Goodwin as well.
Yeah, Luke Goodwin. They've had a 20K walk. They walked from Goolagong to Cowra yesterday. Yeah. That was about 40K. And we've been plugging the Royce's
Big
Walk.
Royce'sBigWalk.com.au is
good on you guys.
The website. No, good on you, David.
Good on you, Dave.
And it's going to be a great occasion on Friday week when Royce Simmons and his posse walks into Penrith Park there ahead of their game against the Cowboys. And we're going to check in with them again on Friday as well, in fact. Friday, they will be going from Carcor to Fitzgerald Mount. That's day four of the walk. So they're moving from Carcor further towards Bathurst on Fridays. The next time we'll speak with them. We've got Trent on the line. Morning, Trent.
Boys, how are we going?
Mate, pretty well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Look, Loz, you were talking about yesterday's hero earlier, not shutting up. Mate, I was at a sports lunch with him out at Canterbury Leagues. Bad to actually walk him off stage.
Oh, Lang Mack.
Yes. But 45 minutes, he was up there and he was talking about 84 and 86 and all the grand finals that he played in. And
yeah.
He got a tap on the shoulder. He's like, Paul, it's time to go.
Mate, I'm telling you, he wouldn't have stopped talking.
Oh, mate, he was going off and he's like literally waving at everyone. Saying, thanks for your time, boys. Have a good night.
Tiptoed out you get.
Oh, it was one of the better lunches. And then Paul Barr come on and he only got 5 minutes. He's like, sorry, Lang, it's taking all your time, mate. You've got to go. So,
that doesn't surprise me, Trent. That doesn't surprise me. Now, you're a Bulldog, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yes, tell me about your thoughts.
Look, it's a catch-22, unfortunately, each way we go. Now, look, I feel for Trent Barrett. I will say that straight up, but it's a results-driven business. Four wins from 35 games. It's not good enough, unfortunately. Yeah, he had to go. It's probably about 2 weeks too late.
What type of coach do you want to see in charge now?
I want someone in there that's got a bit of authority, who's going to basically take him by the scruff of the neck and just basically try and get the best out of him. Now, Seraldo is a good option, but is it a good option now? That's the big thing. But the Flanagan option, which is the next one they're going to, his son plays there. So that adds another complication to it. Now, I've always been a believer, right? Doesn't matter what relationship status you have with the bloke. You could be your son, could be your brother, could be anyone.
Mm.
If he's part of the best 17, he gets picked, regardless.
Yep.
But as you know, Loz, it happens, unfortunately. If there's family involved, there's always that little whisper in the back, oh, he's only played because his old man's the coach.
Yeah.
You know, and look, Nathan and Ivan Cleary don't have that because, let's face it, Nathan Cleary's above average.
Yeah.
So that whisper will never happen. That's a completely different kettle of fish. Kyle Flanagan, though, that whisper will happen if Shane keeps picking him, if he is actually selected as coach. The other issue I've got, and you mentioned it earlier, you've got a very, very big shadow there in Gus Gould.
Yeah.
Who's going to want to work there? You know, because let's face it, he's going to have his little 2 cents worth in the back. And you know what? It's warranted. It's absolutely warranted. You know, like his record speaks for itself. You mentioned Freddie. If we got Freddie, happy days. That'd be unreal.
Right. So you'd be in support of Freddie. What about, so it sounds like if you had the choice, Freddie, what about Paul Green?
Yeah, he's won a premiership. So he does have that on his resume. It didn't end well for him at the Cowboys. whether that stigma follows him. And you're talking about stigmas earlier. Unfortunately for Trent Barrett, it's going to follow him. Unfortunately, he's a great assistant coach. I think it's fair to say now. Like, he's had two cracks. He's had a crack at Manly, didn't work out. He's had a crack at the Dogs, didn't work out. At Penrith, he was outstanding in the background.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say whoever they put in, there'll be some question marks.
Oh, 100%. But the next one they bring in, mate, they've got to stick solid. They can't chop and change. Four coaches in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's not
they
good.
They can't chop. It's not. Look, Dean Pay got the raw end of the stick when he got let go. Trent Barrett has got the raw end of the stick. But, Loz, the thing you got to look at, mate, they're actually poorer this year than what they were last year.
Yeah.
And they've got better players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing that a lot of Dogs fans are asking at the minute with the roster. And that's the other thing as well. What happens with Kikau coming in next year? What happens with Matt Burton? Do these boys have clauses in their contract to say once Barrett goes, oh, I think other boys, I can go wherever I like?
Yeah, but they had their managers come out and deny that yesterday, Trent. So I think if you're a Bulldogs fan, you can sit back and think, nah, they're coming. But I think what Gus will be doing in the next couple of weeks was we'll be looking at this roster, looking at the salary cap position they're in, and he'll be coming up with some decisions that not everyone will like, but I think he'll try and make way to try and fit some people into the organisation and to make it easy for people to leave the organisation if they want to. And either by tapping them on the shoulder and saying, mate, this is not working. If you can get a deal somewhere else, go and take it. Or just point blank say to them, mate, you're not in our top 30. Yes, we've got you on contract, but you're not going to play first grade here. You better have to do yourself a favour and go and look at another option, because if you stay here, you won't be getting a look in.
On the text line here, could you repeat the Loz v Cook bet? So Cookie's best today on the Kenzo. At Randwick, he's gone race 3, number 7, toes on the nose, $5 chance. Tom Sherry in the saddle for Mark Newnham. And Loz took the roughie in this field, which has been backed at a price, 13 into 11. Number 8, Timpanist for David Payne and Tyler Schiller. Also, just before when you were talking about how you were distracted watching the South Warriors game the other day,
yeah.
We've received a text message from one of your associates. It's your local.
Mm.
Who says, I don't know what distracted him. He never went to the bar.
Please. Can I guess who sent that to you? Would I be accurate?
You'd be more than accurate.
More than accurate, yeah. You just don't believe that, Blake.
Morning, DS.
Morning, boys. It's good to see you in the flesh, the three of you. I tell you what, that
nice
same associate sent me a message yesterday saying Laurie wouldn't shout in a fire. So, is that true? Are you tight when it comes to...
Not tight when I come to shouting, no.
No.
No, I can be accused of being tight, like...
Elsewhere. Well, what are you tight with?
Buying clothes. I don't buy a lot of clothes. Mm. The clothes I get are the clothes I'm given to by my wife or my kids. Because I wear the same thing, I just wear...
No, you don't.
If you have...
You don't wear the same thing.
I'll wear a pair of shoes until I can't get another wear out of them.
No way.
And then I will grab the other ones out of the cupboard and then I'll start wearing them.
Actually, there's a good little game you can play on the Big Sports Breakfast Instagram page. It's like a Laurie shirt bingo. You can go through and actually see. And sometimes you're actually wearing the same shirt. You might wear it on a Thursday and you'll wear it the following Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you'll do a bit of that sometimes.
I didn't know that.
Do you ever try and pinch those shirts from when you go on Matty John's show?
No, I never pinched any.
No.
Just borrowed a few. Just haven't returned.
No, because that's not my style. I wouldn't wear a lot of that stuff.
The long sleeves?
No.
But you do give that jumper a good run.
Yeah.
He wears the All Stars.
It's cold.
His jumper. Man, I've seen you wearing it in summer. You've been running around.
I'm wearing it in summer.
He's got the singlet on. Get the guns out.
Now, this morning I heard you guys talking about the Bulldogs, and obviously that's featured. Probably will never happen, but Baz being a Dragon, being a Wollongong boy.
Ah, the romantic notion.
Let's get him home.
Bring him home.
Let's get Baz and Hook together, the dream team. And let's get the Dragons. He needs to come home, Baz, I think. And I'm not trying to get rid of Hook because I like...
Yeah. Bring back Baz. Bring back Baz.
I was lucky enough to...
I think you do a great job as an assistant down there to...
Yeah.
To the Hook.
Well, I was.
I don't know who his assistants are at the moment. Nah. Peter Gentle is one, I think. But yep. You could probably find a position there for Baz. I think it would be well received.
I did a lunch with the Thirroul Butchers, the Thirroul Rugby League team, and interviewed them both.
Don't go down that path, Jono.
I'm going to walk out, Jono. Don't be careful with that. No, but in terms of, didn't Jono just absolutely went stone face there, went white. But in terms of, no, I think bring him back and get the Dragons firing again. Dream team. Never happened, but anyway.
We can
believe.
You never know what happens in a big city, Dave.
Rugby league, away from rugby league, horse racing. Jono Shea's going to join us this morning on Racing HQ. We've got...
He's got that horse backed off the map. Pengilly, I think. Yeah, Koshu. Race 2. Now, into 2:10.
I don't know if you boys heard my chat yesterday with Mark Newnham, all the punters on Big Sports Breakfast did. But Mark had a bit of a tongue-in-cheek, had a bit of a joke, because obviously Koshu's been off the map. And he said at the trainers' hut at Randwick, they were all sort of having a discussion about James McDonald. And James obviously will ride at the trials. He'll, you know, do a bit here and there. But when James turns up to jump one out or to do some track work, everyone takes note, because he doesn't, not saying he doesn't need to do that, but he's obviously a very busy man and has a lot of commitments. So he's turned up to ride this Koshu, and he's turned up in general. So Mark and obviously the other trainers have said to John O'Shea and Tom Charlton, what's James here for? Trying to, you know, get a bit of information. And they've tried to say a different horse. They've said, oh, no, he's here to ride XYZ, trying to hide this particular runner, and now it's obviously off the map. It came out on the day that it was Koshu, but there you go. So very, very interesting.
Skullduggery.
I'm just scarred by those type of things, David. What was the horse that Tommy was going to ride one day and we thought it was going to be a champion?
I can't remember the name.
A group horse?
They're not very good judges, jocks. They're not very good judges, but...
Remember, he was driving somewhere to...
He was driving Newcastle. He was driving to Newcastle. It was Trope.
Trope.
Yeah. Anyway. Could run on.
Oh, well, this thing was the second coming of Farlap.
Tommy was driving up to Newcastle and, Laurie got sucked in.
Yeah.
He claimed that is his own at the tab, the pub, and everyone wanted to spray him.
Well, you as only you can do, you sold it to me.
Did you shirt front Barry?
Dave sold it to me. He goes, mate, this thing's a good horse.
You got to get it wrong every now and then, DS.
Every day.
Tommy's driving to Newcastle to trial and a jump out.
We'll out someone.
He doesn't do that.
Yeah, we'll out a trainer here.
Yeah.
He's sick. You know, close to you as well, Dave, because I spoke to him as well at Scone on Saturday. Will Friedman.
Yep.
Had a tip for us at Newcastle, which I know you put on the group chat as well.
Yes. Rosie's impact.
We'll be very disappointed if it doesn't run a place. Where did it run?
Fourth.
Where did it run?
Fourth.
And I've given it to all my mates as well.
Yep. It was very deflating. Very deflating. And I think it was a tough drive home for him. Will. But, that's the beauty of our game.
The game.
You can have all your ducks lined up, but anything can happen on the day. Boys, have a good Wednesday.